Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Eco Money, where we bring you the latest in sustainability and finance. Now, the World Wide Fund for Nature, or WWF, may be best known for its conservation programs. It is, after all, one of the largest environmental organizations on the planet. But this week, we're going to find out more about the organization's efforts to tackle key issues through industries such as the financial sector, but more specifically, the sustainable banking assessment. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And the sustainable banking assessment is a tool that shows year-on-year changes in a bank's performance on the integration of environmental and social considerations. And to find out more, we're joined today by Dr. Keith Lee, and he's Senior Vice President, Sustainable Finance at WWF Singapore. Dr. Lee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me here, Rachel. It's a pleasure to be on.
So perhaps to set the scene, can you tell us a little bit more about the sustainable banking assessment? How did it come about? How large is it?
As you mentioned, WWF are best known as a conservation organization. But we do recognize the importance of the finance sector in terms of playing a role to drive this low carbon sustainable transition that is increasingly on everybody's lips. And so through our work with the finance sector, we aim to try and harness the influence of that finance sector to be able to drive corporate behavior change. And part of that is working with banks and other financial institutions as well to really help them understand how climate change and ongoing nature loss create risks to their bottom lines. In other words, how that potentially impacts the ability of their clients to repay their loans, while at the same time creating opportunities in terms of the need for finance for scaling up the low carbon businesses and solutions of tomorrow. So with the Sustainable Banking Assessment, or SASBA, as we like to call it, the idea is really to take a look at banks in the ASEAN region and to understand how they are managing environmental and social risks and opportunities and integrating that into their overall business strategies. So, yes, go on.
Right. Keith, can you tell us a little bit more about how the banks are assessed then?
Yeah, the assessment is based on a framework that we developed within the team. And the framework is based on existing best practices pertaining to climate change risk and opportunity management. Some listeners might be familiar with the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, or TCFD, for example. But we also injected our own expertise on sustainable finance within WWF, and also drawing a lot on WWF's more general work with corporates on sustainability, which is obviously relevant for banks as well. And then lastly, drawing on our science-based conservation expertise to develop this framework. And so the framework, what results is one of the, what we think is probably one of the most comprehensive and robust frameworks for thinking about sustainable banking, especially in the ASEAN and wider Asian context, and is a framework that covers the kind of organizational level changes that need to take place for banks to be able to properly manage environmental and social risks and opportunities. And this covers, things like the bank's high level purpose, in other words, how it's integrating sustainability into its vision and strategy. Mm-hmm. It looks in more granular detail at the bank's risk management policies and processes, and also whether there are the right governance frameworks in place, whether there's incentives and training on sustainability for senior management, but also business teams, and also whether the bank has the right kinds of product offerings, and whether it's really looking at environmental and social risk and opportunity at it from a holistic point of view. In other words, looking at its entire portfolio and, how much of that portfolio is exposed to some of these risks, and how much of that portfolio is actually contributing to sustainable development in a more explicit way.
Keith, can you tell us, perhaps since the assessment was launched, what are some of the key trends that you've seen?
Yeah, so we first launched the assessment in 2017. Mm-hmm. And this year is the fourth year of the assessment. We will be releasing the update to that just next week, actually. So do keep an eye out for that. But I think in the first 3 years, between 2017 and 2019, we've seen a lot of progress across the region, which has been really encouraging. In particular, our three Singapore banks are making the most rapid progress out of the six ASEAN countries that are included. And insofar as the assessment itself is concerned, these three Singapore banks are now starting to be on par with international peers, particularly in terms of how they're disclosing around their processes for integrating environmental and social considerations into individual client and transaction level assessments. They've also made good progress in terms of their actual policies. So it's notable, for instance, that last year, all three Singapore banks announced policies indicating that they would no longer finance new coal-fired power plants, which is obviously a key step towards addressing climate change. But also, they now require clients in agricultural sectors, including palm oil, to have no deforestation commitments, for instance. And elsewhere in ASEAN, we've also seen progress. I would say that probably the Malaysian and Thai banks are the next after the Singapore banks in terms of improvement. But within these countries, we tend to see the progress be a lot less homogenous in the sense that it's really, you know, between one and three banks within each country kind of making progress and opening up a bit of a gap over other banks in those countries.
And you mentioned that you're going to have an update on the list or on the assessment next week. Any big shifts that we're expecting to see come out of the latest update?
I think one of the things to note is that we will be including five Japanese banks and five Korean banks in the assessment mm-hmm. this year, alongside the 38 ASEAN banks that will be included. Obviously, the Japanese banks have been looking at these issues very seriously also, and I think it will be interesting to see the kind of contrast in progress between Japanese banks and ASEAN banks, in particular in terms of addressing climate-related risks. Maybe not to give too much away, but I think we can also expect further progress kind of in line with what I was mentioning earlier in terms of the Singapore banks continuing to look at this issue in terms of addressing the kind of the portfolio-level risk assessment indicators, which tend to be a little bit more challenging for banks to implement. But then also, again, in other countries, I think we can expect to see, again, additional progress from a smaller number of banks in Malaysia and Thailand.
We're speaking with Dr. Keith Lee, Senior Vice President, Sustainable Finance at WWF Singapore. So, Keith, perhaps you can tell us, I read on the site that you're also introducing a sectors and issues assessment in SUSPA to facilitate a deeper dive into the banking sector specific policies. And I think you mentioned this briefly earlier as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about this and what it will entail?
Indeed, yes. So the sectors and issues assessment takes a deeper dive, as you said, into looking at how a bank is actually lending to clients in specific high-risk sectors. And by high-risk sectors, I mean sectors which tend to generate more negative environmental and social impacts, or which are more exposed to risks from environmental and social issues. Examples are agriculture, mining, seafood, so and so on. And this year, we will be starting off this part of the SUSBA assessment by looking at banks' policies for lending to the palm oil sector and to the energy sector. And I'll come back to palm oil in a minute. But basically, the rationale for this is to, as I mentioned, SUSBA, the original SUSBA is an organizational level framework. And so a bank can invest a lot in terms of its processes, its governance frameworks, but in terms of actually driving real change on the ground, influencing companies in its lending portfolio, and also managing environmental and social risks in a robust of those policies. So, here we're looking to basically provide more detailed guidance based on, as I mentioned earlier, our kind of science-based understanding of issues and sectors, basically providing more detailed guidance for the kinds of criteria and expectations that banks should have from clients in these sectors. So to illustrate this using the example of palm oil, and as a sector that our audience is likely familiar with, given its importance to the region, the palm oil sector policy should reference internationally recognized best practice for sustainability. And in the palm oil sector, we have the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil Certification Scheme, or RSPO. So within the palm oil sector policy, some of the indicators that we've developed look at whether a bank might expect a palm oil producer to achieve 100% certification of its palm oil plantations against RSPO. That's certainly not the only thing, but one of the key aspects, and it would need to be accompanied by criteria pertaining to protections against human rights, labor rights, and community rights violations, for instance, broader protections against use of fire, pesticides, and so on. So hopefully that gives you a sense of what I mean mm-hmm. by a sector-specific lending policy and why the content is.
What's your outlook going forward? How do you see things really progressing? I mean, obviously, you've mentioned that this year has really been unprecedented, and that's probably pushed a lot of financial institutions forward into this particular arena. So how do you see this affecting this environmental and social considerations for financial institutions in the next, say, 12 to 24 months or even longer term?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the conversation around climate change and decarbonization will only continue to accelerate. And I think that will only increase the spotlight on the role that banks are playing to help decarbonize the economy through their financing. So that's not only through trying to work with clients to transition their businesses from high carbon to low carbon business models, but also in terms of them scaling up their investments in sectors like renewable energy, energy efficiency, and so on. But I think it's also important to highlight, and I think this is a trend that is especially salient for ASEAN, is that nature loss and biodiversity loss are also issues which are increasingly mm-hmm. on the radar of both policymakers, corporates, and financial institutions as an issue that has, you know, just as wide-ranging risks as climate change for our economies, businesses, and financial institutions. And so if we want to be able to create a more sustainable and resilient ASEAN region, you know, which is what we're ultimately working towards as WWF here in Singapore, is that in addition to tackling climate change, we would hope for banks to also be able to address ongoing nature loss, habitat destruction. You know, deforestation is certainly one of those major issues. Yeah, and I think it's just worth highlighting that there is momentum building on this front. So in July, there was the announcement of a task force on nature-related financial disclosures, which aims to create recommendations for how financial institutions and corporates can start disclosing or talking about their impacts on nature and then how they're exposed to nature-related risks. Notably, DBS is actually mm-hmm. Involved in that initiative. And we're hopeful that moving forwards, that this initiative, as it develops momentum and you know, progresses, will also be effective for putting nature loss on the agenda of the financial sector.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for sharing all those insights with us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And thanks again for having me on.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Dr. Keith Lee, Senior Vice President, Sustainable Finance at WWF Singapore, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.